Folder 53, January 1982. 53C8. There is something terrible and terrifying throughout Valis, and it is coupled with wisdom. Agape is not the topic. War, judgment, and death are, carrying out in full the dream in tears. It is all very convincing. The novel partakes of epic greatness. Also, it is a story of madness converted into faith through, due to, suffering. But this suffering itself pertains to death, to slaying. Slaying that is the basic theme of Valis, and Shiva is the correct name for the deity. It is a very strong novel, and a great, great one, a true epic of the human soul and spirit. But it deals with judgment and war and death. Slaying, not healing. The slaying even spread out to include Sophia, who is the Savior. The awful, awesome power of Yahweh is told of. It breaks out in all its destructiveness. Thus, I say, my 274 and 275 experience was that of Jacob Burma and the dialectic in which the demonic power within God was revealed. And only the bright side of the dialectic, i.e. wisdom, logos, confines the dark or demonic side to slaying the wicked and thus sparing the sheep. So finally, I say, my experience was Burma's, and it was of God himself, and he is terrible but just. The demonic or insane side of God is barely contained by the irrational or logos or wisdom or bright side. A dreadful theophany indeed. And it is indubitably, beyond doubt, authentic. I know this from having read Paul Tillich's book. I have encountered the demonic, insane, slaying, dark side of God, and seen it contained by the bright or logos or rational or wisdom side, i.e. in the dialectic. So this is a profound and absolutely veridical experience of the Godhead, exactly as Burma experienced it. Valis, then, narrates one of the great encounters in human history between a given human being, myself, and God. The dual nature of God is all summed up by the dual nature of the third eye and the beam of pink light, wisdom and death. 53, C14. Hypnopompic vision. We live over and over, but because it is erased each time, this paradox results. It is Al-Zab only one time, that is, it is again and again, and it is but once. So Christianity is true, and also the pan-Indian doctrine of reincarnation is true. Both are equally so. Now, this is a linear journey, and it is eternal. Goes on and on forever, until we are saved. And when we are saved, we are lifted up very abruptly, without warning, vertically at right angles, by a pulley, as in the 17th century poem, The Pulley. Note: The Pulley, by George Herbert, one of Dick's favorite poets. End note. Like cargo on a ship, all encompassed, in a net of ropes, like a little cage of extrication and salvation, lifted up to safety. And what causes this? Anamnesis, recovered memory, loss of, more accurately, the loss of memory of all the previous times. The instant we remember, fail to forget all the previous times. Why at that instant, 274, we are saved, lifted up by Christ? And what causes us to remember? To know, i.e. gnosis, and to remember, anamnesis, are one. And why do we know? Through the training of the intellect. It is an intellectual matter. And why did I remember? It had to do with time, the illusion of time and the breaking of that illusion, which is the dimension or receptacle in which this journey that is linear is repeated throughout infinity. I broke it when I was about 21 years old by reading Maimonides' Guide to the Perplexed, an old Hebrew book. Note, Maimonides, 1138 to 1204, was the greatest Jewish philosopher of the medieval period. His influential Guide to the Perplexed attempted to reconcile Aristotelian thought and Judaism. End note. And because it was old and pious and Hebrew, two things happened. Two trackings, lives, reincarnations, became identical due to this common element. That is, in two of them, I did the same thing, read this book, and so because of the way two coaxial worlds can operate off the same common essence or matrix, they became one and thus converted over or passed over each into the other, as if I had traveled back in time. That is one of the two causes of my salvation, and it is literal and real. By reading Maimonides in two different lives at two different places and times, these lives became one, viz. My meta-abstraction. This is because of Plato's Idai, the fact of a given Idai instantiating itself multiple times and places, and yet remaining unitary, viz. There is only one Guide to the Perplexed. This is what 274 was all about, anamnesis and the meta-abstraction. So half of the reason for my salvation had to do with the fact that, one, we live lives again and again but forget. Two, Plato's forms metaphysics, coaxial worlds, is the case. Three, there was a single object at two times, now and in the distant past, and two places, USA and Syria, Africa. Viz., the PTG world that I saw is the Africa of the far past, where I first read the Maimonides book, perhaps at the time it was written. It was written in Felix, Arabia. But there is another and equally necessary reason for my salvation. And it is not a natural reason, but has to do with grace. Hence the God of Moses, the God of the prophet Moses and of Moses Maimonides, Yahweh, by voluntarily picking up and reading this particular book two times in two lives, I found favor with Yahweh. And it was He who, through His mercy, i.e. grace, caused me in 274 to remember. And as soon as I remembered, I was instantly lifted up at right angles vertically to the way we live horizontally for all eternity. And yet only once, until through His grace, we are saved. 53 D 10. My God, this revelation of earlier tonight, it signifies something else I hadn't realized. This eternal horizontal tracking and retracking is broken only when and if anamnesis and noesis, the meta-abstraction, occurs, whereupon you are netted up along the vertical axis as if by pulley. This is precisely the pan-Indian, Hindu and Buddhist, notion of moksha, liberation from the weary wheel of birth, death, and rebirth, and in the pan-Indian system, restored memory of past lives or a life is, as with Plato's anamnesis, the access key. This vertical extrication is the whole point of Buddhist and Hindu awakening and hence liberation, and in connection with this realization, I suddenly have a partial memory that part of this revelation had to do with nirvana, myself and nirvana. And if not this revelation, then at any rate a very recent one. What then I am saying is that 374 may well not only be the doorway to nirvana, but may have been nirvana itself, the cessation of birth and death, the cycle based on illusion, free at last. 53 D 12. The vision of vertical extrication from endless horizontal tracking is highly significant. An orthogonal axis is represented here. A dimension, like a spatial fourth unknown to us. This is why space and time and causation were so changed for me in 374, if not obliterated entirely, and why I saw time as a fourth spatial axis, Salvation utilizes one additional dimension or axis. It has the effect of breaking the power of Hermione by virtue of the fact that it enters at right angles to all known axes. It may well be, then, that in 374, I was not just seeing time as space, but was seeing along an additional axis, 5 instead of 4, with time transformed into space thereby. This fifth axis may be necessary if you are to discriminate set from ground and discern Valis. It is through the fifth axis that the two spatiotemporal continua juxtapose, as if by a fold impossible to our 4 known axes. And I may find that the meta-abstraction was a conceiving of this fifth axis. Well then, the third eye of discernment opened, Diba Kaku, in 374, due to the 274 meta-abstraction, and because of this, my four-dimensional world became five-dimensional, and all that I saw arises out of this, e.g., the plasmate, the King Felix cipher set to ground, Valis camouflaged, and here normally invisible to us, etc. Biochip, symbiote, mycelia, vine, its branches growing like a circulatory system, firebright, the logos in the human brain. Ach, temporal parallaxis is at right angles to the other three spatial axes. Formerly, it was experienced only as time. Now it is a spatial axis that revealed four depths on the same page of print of tears. The fifth dimension then enters as time to replace it. But it is another kind of time, apparently. In any case, this fourth spatial axis, temporal parallaxis, permits the set ground discrimination, etc. If I had not seen what I call temporal parallaxis, I could not imagine it. My God, this is all the case. In this fifth dimension time, things are now if they possess a common constituent, viz. Now signifies any and all of our fourth dimensional worlds, where such a common constituent as, e.g., the guide to the perplexed, is. This is what the meta-abstraction pertains to. This other kind of time, the eo tempore, or dream time, in which one and the same unitary object is at two times and places in terms of how we experience time and place in a four-dimensional world. But in a five-dimensional world, that golden fish sign was in USA 1974 and Syria AD 70 simultaneously. This is how, e.g., the Eucharist works. How through the sacrament, time is overcome, normal time becomes space, temporal parallaxis, and a different time, an added fifth dimension enters, and the meta-abstraction was a realization on my part of this coaxiality. Then the meta-abstraction as an ultra-cognitive act did usher it all in. But note, the golden fish sign is, and did serve in that case, 274, a sacramental, holy object, filled with grace. A vessel for grace. It was not simply old, it was sacred. 53 E1. Note. This entry commences with a short burst of wild handwriting. PJ. End note. There are complex organisms that live in 5D space-time, i.e. hypertime, and they are not perceptible by to us, e.g. Valis, the plasmate. We can't discriminate them. They have contacted me. Their language is color. Color, math, and music form a unity. This was the phosphine graphic, pure language. They grow through our 4D world like mycelia, biochip, symbiote. It was Pythagoras they first contacted. Our world to them is like an ocean. My 5D dream is precisely what Plotinus was speaking of, concentric rings, not a fall in space and time. It is the realm of the sacred, of Act 3 of Parsifal. Hence, here, my son, time turns into space. It is the realm of cosmos noetos, hence logos, hence the realm of Christ. 53 E3. We are as in an ocean to them, and we are like lower life forms whom they are trying to contact, but they are very different from us. Thus, although they are ETIs, they are not from another planet, star system, etc., but are right here, except in a 5D world. They can see us, but we can't see them. Note: Dick is voicing a common theme in paranormal literature, particularly as it found expression in the pulp fiction magazines of the 1940s and 50s, which he collected and adored. The literature, in turn, was deeply influenced by the American writer Charles Fort, 1874 to 1932, who popularized any number of paranormal themes, including the phenomena of fish, periwinkles, nebulous biological matters, and rocks falling from the sky. Reflecting on such things, Fort speculated that we are like fish in an ethereal sea upon which a more advanced civilization is dropping crap. Later, the pulp fiction editor Ray Palmer, 1910 to 1977, whose Amazing Stories magazine was a staple in the 1940s SF world, posited something he called the atmospheria. Basically, an ether-like extension or ocean of the Earth in which various occult critters and objects swim and fly, including those that came to be known in 1947 as flying saucers. Numerous writers have since identified the latter manifesting mysteries as extra-dimensional as opposed to extraterrestrial, much as Dick does here. JJK. End note. Plotinus's concentric rings of emanation explain it. Here there is atomization, causation, etc. There unity exists. Structure, organization, is pure, which is to say, these beings are in a sense incorporeal. Yet in another sense, they are not. But here, we see not the total being as a unity, but rather discrete physical components that add up to nothing, e.g. Valus. We see at best a perturbation of the reality field, my surd. Their language is color music number ratio. For 60 seconds last night, I was in direct two-way contact with them. Upon my figuring out that there is such a thing as self-authenticating information, at once I asked for what I call cipher source verification, and got several fired very fast, mostly sequences, as are the Fibonacci numbers, as if they had them ready for use at a moment's notice. Sequence patterns, intervals, etc. I don't remember, but they were sufficient. I remember that. They were ebullient. They had achieved their objective. They had proven their external source origin. The information was not originating in my own mind. The two-way exchange followed the classic lines envisioned by our scientists as to how we would send signal and response back and forth with ETIs, that is, other planets. But this is not other planets. It is a 5D world that is now and here, known to Plotinus as an ontologically higher realm or concentric ring. I guess you would say that these are the gods of Egypt, India, and Greece. Note: This is the ever-popular ancient astronaut or paleocontact thesis, which reads the history of religions as a coded story about humanity's interaction with extraterrestrials, which were mistaken within our mythologies as gods from the sky. There are multiple forms of this theory, some of which have us as biological hybrids intentionally created through primate-alien interbreeding, a theory that returned in a darker form in the 1980s through hypnosis-related abduction narratives and subsequent fears of an alien hybridization program. The origin of this complex of ideas is often attributed to Erich von Däniken's Chariots of the Gods, 1968, though in fact it had already existed for decades among various English, American, and French intellectuals, not to mention a whole host of occult groups. The public intellectual and science advocate Carl Sagan even voiced a version of the thesis as a thought experiment in 1966, speculating, for example, about an alien base on the far or dark side of the moon. Dick would have been very familiar with these ideas, as they were very much in the air in the 1970s. JJK. Endnote. This is the sacred breaking into the profane, and is certainly eo tempore. 53. E5. The color, musical score, math triune info, like an illuminated manuscript from the medieval period. Ach, I have always said that the plasmate info, e.g. King Felix, looked like an illuminated letter, suggesting that the idea of an illuminated letter was derived from a perception of the plasmate, color, coded in as an essential integral part. So here, the illuminated letter or word becomes musical annotation, which adds the element of music and at fixed ratio intervals, math. But the fourth note doubles back, and what is formed is the long spiral of the Fibonacci numbers. The colors signal the phosphenes of the receiver, and so are, so to speak, read backward, i.e., in terms of their phosphine analogs. A pure concept is conveyed using no words. All three axes are nonverbal: music, math ratios, color. Pythagoras, phosphenes, symbiote, biochip, mycelia, vine, circulatory system.